Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Dan Seaborn. I really probably don't need to introduce you, but I sure love to do it, Dan, because Dan's been a friend of mine for years, and he's a friend of Fairhaven, and he loves you, this church, loves this community, and he's a man that loves Jesus. And so let's pray for Dan a minute together. Father, thank you for Dan, and thank you for a different day. Yesterday morning did not look like this morning. He had no voice, and yet you've given him one to be able to stand here now. We pray heart and head and his voice for your glory. Amen. Thanks, brother.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. You were all waiting to hear what it sounded like, weren't you? Thank you, Pastor Greg. I want to say a couple things before I preach, and I do apologize. It will be a challenge to get through this, but the Lord is going to give me strength, I'm sure, and so we rely on him anyway. Usually, and these pastors know this, usually when you feel you do your poorest job as a preacher, God does great work, so he's going to work in us today. I want to just make a couple of comments before we get started. I'm thrilled and honored. I'm so thankful Pastor Greg invited me to be a part of this series, this Exodus series. I'm going to jump right in the middle of it between him and Jeremy. But I want to say something before I do that. I do travel around the country. I do get to preach a lot of places. And I'm just telling you, I am seeing more and more pastors who are not preaching from God's word. They're preaching cultural truths, things they think will bring people to their church, et cetera, et cetera. And I have just been so thrilled, and I told Pastor Greg this last week, to see how your pastors teach you the Word of God, talk to you from the Word of God, show you the Word of God. I'm just telling you as a congregation, you're blessed. You're blessed to have this teaching team, and I'd like for you to appreciate them and just give them a round of applause for their work. Awesome. Really is awesome. Love it. I absolutely love it. And that's why I'm thrilled to get to come and be a part of it. I believe in God's word. I believe today as I point you to what I think the Lord is showing us in this story about Moses. I believe if you will open your hearts to what he says, that God will do something in your heart. A couple of weeks ago, I preached somewhere, and after the sermon, one of my neighbors was there, and I said to my neighbor, hey, that one point that I was sharing, you know, can you tell me what you thought about that? And she literally looked at me and said, I started daydreaming right there. I don't even know what you said. So I know what happens when you walk in here. No matter how much we prepare, no matter how effective we try to be, no matter how much we use the screens, it's the Lord that speaks to your heart. And today I'm asking you to keep your focus on him, because I'm going to talk to you about Moses' calling of God. Moses was 80 years old. The passage I'm about to join in this text of preaching with your pastors, he's 80 years old. 40 years he'd lived in Egypt. 40 years he had wandered in this wilderness that he would soon be for 40 years leading the Israelites in. And he's 80. And he has that moment that Pastor Greg described to you last week, and he talked about how many things distract us and keep us in our busyness from hearing from God. And I'm going to read to you the passage that he read to you and then continue it on just a bit from Exodus chapter 3. Hear the reading of the Lord's word. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. So I want you to get a picture of it. I want you to picture him somewhere on this mountain. Get it in your mind. Let's make this story real. Moses is 80 years old. His life is pretty routine and you could say fairly boring. He watched sheep all day. And he'd been doing that for 40 years. Probably thinking, when's retirement coming? And he's walking around on the mountain. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from within a bush. Put the bush where you'd like to on the mountain. Just get it in your mind. Moses saw, though the bush was on fire, it did not burn. So Moses thought, I will go over there and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, I want you to note, the Lord saw, he went over there. God called to him from within the bush. He said, Moses, Moses. This is a place in Scripture where God says his name twice. Pastor Greg and I were talking this week. This happened 7 times in Scripture. I want to go through those. God said it to Abraham. He said, Abraham, Abraham. Why'd he do that? Well, Abraham and Sarah, his wife, had gone 25 years trying to have a kid. Finally had that kid, Isaac. And now God tested Abraham and said to him, sacrifice the boy you've waited for. Goodness gracious. Next week, Pastor Jeremy is going to share with you a part of the story of Moses that you're going to go, goodness gracious. Why would God do these things? And I will tell you, it's because he wants to get your focus. He wants to know that you are submitted and surrendered to him. It's so easy. I came and sat in the back up here this morning already. I sat right in the back row. Maybe some of you saw me sit down by you. It's so easy to walk in church and just chill. Some of you here today, you really aren't ready to hear God's calling. You just came in here kind of like you go in a grocery store. Kind of like you go into TJ Maxx. I'm not really sure I'm going to buy anything. I'm just going to go in there and walk around. And we checked the box. Yeah, God, I did my thing with you today. I walked in. I know I led to the Lord. I did the singing. Lord, you saw I did like 11% today. I gave a little extra. I'm good. And God, I think, says to us, is that really what it's about? I mean, I ponder this a lot. I sit on the stool in my office and go, what am I going to say today that might grab a daydreamer's attention? Might keep someone from, sermon's kind of boring. I'll go see what's happening on eBay. So easy. I get it. I get it. It's life. It's like Pastor Greg said last week. It's so much. There's so much going for your attention. And God said to Abraham, Abraham, I need your attention, boy. And Abraham gave it. Then God said to Moses, Moses, Moses. He's redirecting him. He's letting him know, son, I got something for you. To this morning, somebody sitting here, can I just say to you, God is saying your name twice. You say, how do you know? Because of Jesus. Post-Jesus, he came for everyone. He has a calling and a purpose for every one of our lives. You say, Dan, I'll never be a preacher. Absolutely, probably not. But I'll never live in your neighborhood. This teaching team will never work at your job. We'll never have your relatives. You say, I'd give you half of them. We'll never have them. You're about to spend a lot of time with them. Thanksgiving and Christmas is coming. Someone needs to have the calling of Dan, Dan, who's going to be a witness here. And in this story, God is saying to Moses, son, I got a calling for you. And no matter how big or how wide how high our calling is, what God is looking for is obedience. He's looking for us to respond to the voice. Look at what Moses said. Moses said these words, here I am. That's all I'm asking you to do this morning, is to say to the Lord God Almighty, here I am. I humbly am coming before you. I'm available. Seven-year-olds sitting in here. I saw some of you. I saw several of you who were younger sitting in here. God can get your attention. In Scripture, one of the places he does is he says to a young man in Scripture, he says, Simeon, Simeon, Simon, Simon. He's trying to get his attention. And God is the one who does the callings. God is the one who seeks us out. Early in Scripture, Samuel, Samuel is the place where twice a young boy heard the voice of God. And the Bible says during that time, the voice of God was rare. In other words, not many people were hearing from God. And a young boy, maybe another young boy sitting in here today, a young lady sitting in here today. I get it. I live in a culture. I have an 8-year-old granddaughter, and right now I can tell you she's spending all her time working on her shot because she wants to be like Caitlin Clark. I get it. I help her with it. I love basketball. But I pray that my granddaughter Naya would much more hear the voice of the Lord than the voice of a basketball calling. Because I want her life to be used for the glory of God. Even if she made it to the WNBA, I want her to be a witness for Christ. And today, you are in a place where God is calling you to obey him. Moses did that. Moses said, "Here I am." The Lord said to him, "Do not come any closer." God said, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Notice a little earlier, if I go back just about right here, there was another guy who hid from God with his wife Eve. But he hid for a different reason. He had sinned. In this case, flip over a few pages. Moses was hiding from God out of reverence. We've lost that in our culture. We kind of snapshot God, going, "Yeah, you know, God, me and God, we just hang out all the time." Make sure you have a deep reverence for Almighty God. He is powerful. He is omnipotent. He's way above us. We've lost that respect in our culture for God. And Moses said, whoa, God's speaking to me. Whew, this morning, if you sense the Lord speaking to you, don't blow it off like, "Yeah, you know, I got him in my back pocket." Careful. If you hear from the Lord today, the best position would be a bended knee. "Father God, thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for noticing that I am your child. I don't deserve that, and I'm honored you did." So I personally look at this story, and I want to show you a few little things that I observe that happens just in those verses I shared with you. They're going to come up on the screen. Three simple points. The first one, very simple, is this. God sees if we are walking toward him or away from him. God can see it. The Bible says that Moses walked over to see the bush and God saw him walking that way. Let me just say this about you. God saw you walk in here this morning, okay? But he also knows if you're walking toward him in here. So like I said, it's easy to walk in and go, "Checked it off, did my thing. I was there. God, you saw me, I was there." Really? Really? Are you walking toward the Lord in sight? Is your heart moving toward God? Have you been coming here for 30 years, but they're really, in terms of your closeness to Christ, if that's Christ over there, really has been no movement here. You always come and check in, and you always go, "Yes, took my ticket, got it." But you never step here. You never say, "Here I am, Lord. Inconvenience me. Go ahead, take me out of my comfort. Move me wherever you need to move me." Because God can tell if you're walking toward him deeply. And I got to tell you, for me, and I think you're going to hear this from Pastor Lori when she comes, those of you ladies, I'd like to come. I might put on a wig and try to sneak in to hear her speak, because I think the Lord has been growing her in some areas that are really challenging, and she's going to talk about that. And I get it. I get it. I don't like some of the things that have drawn me closer to the Lord. But I hope God in heaven sees that the things of this world that sometimes are very challenging and hard don't make me run from Him. They make me run to Him. And today, just as that phone's ringing, He might be calling you to say, will you respond to that call? Thank you, Pastor Greg. Perfect timing. Just kidding. Point number two. Wow. Like you guys look and go, really? You worked all week to come up with that? It's a biggie. I have 8 grandkids. One of my grandkids, when he walks in the house, if there is a screen anywhere on, anywhere in the house on, he finds it. If I pick up my phone and if I just pull it out of my pocket for a couple of seconds and flip on something, he will beeline where I am. Papa, what phone? What games you got on your phone? I'll be like, dude, I'm just checking a text. Not right now. If we have a football game on, he will turn and it's like screens do something to him like I've never seen do to a kid. Some of you have one of these children. And I want to tell you that the world we live in is a giant screen that distracts you from God's attention. God doesn't have a problem giving us His attention. We have a problem giving Him ours. Moses was walking along to ordinary life, and God got his attention with a burning bush. Sometimes He gets our attention in a still voice. Sometimes He gets our attention through a wayward child. Sometimes He gets our attention through a disgruntled neighbor. Sometimes He gets our attention through a peaceful scripture reading. You never know when. But I'm telling you, all day long, He's seeking to get your attention. Pastor Greg made the comment to me last week as we were talking on the phone. From the beginning of time, God is trying to get man's attention. Since Greg said that to me, I have noticed the sunsets more going, good grief. Man really doesn't have an excuse. Look at this world. Look at creation. Look at what Christ did. We got no excuse. The problem is, y'all have heard it so many times. You've heard us walk up here and sing these songs so many times, and it's just like, yeah, yada, yada, yada. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, go ahead, Pastor Dan. You're just like the other pastors, say the same old stuff. Always talking about 4 little words. Good grief, I could write that. We're just trying to let you know God is trying to speak to you this morning. He's trying to get your attention. And some of you know that it would require change in you. So you kind of scuttlebutt your way out and ignore it. And I'm pausing intentionally, not just to rest my voice. I'm pausing in the quietness to make you look at your own self and go, I do that. I do that. God is trying to get my attention, but I try to keep myself busy. And then third, the obvious thing for me as I look at this is our responsibility is to recognize voice and respond. That's what happened here. God said, Moses, Moses, I'm going to redirect you. And Moses, You got to hear this. Pastor Jeremy next week is going to give you all of Moses' excuses to God, and they are plenteous, and you're going to relate to them. And God ultimately says, are you going to be responsible to recognize my voice and obey? I do not speak of it very often, but I want to talk to you about a moment in my life that is the reason I'm standing here today. Most of you would not know this. I was financial director of a hospital. My degrees are in accounting and finance. I went to a youth camp to pick up my wife, Jane, who was a counselor. I had walked into the back of the camp. We had not been married probably about a year. I walked into the back of this camp where this dude was up preaching. I remember his name. His name was Bill Westifer. I was in North Carolina. I went in the back. I could see my wife up there with her group of teens that she was the counselor for that week. I was an accountant. I was the financial director of a hospital. I just drove there to see her. I'm standing in the back of this crowded youth event. He is preaching, and I cannot explain it. I don't talk about it a lot, but I started weeping uncontrollably, and the Lord spoke into my heart. I'm calling you, Dan, I want you to go and preach for me. And I stood there like, what the heck is this? It was my burning bush moment. And I stood there thinking, I'm crazy? Don't tell me that Moses just walked over and went, oh, look, a burning bush. Let's go. He was like, what is this weird? It's weird. I had a weird moment. And I got in my own head. I bet this is me. I bet this is just me thinking this. Is it a dream? Am I in a dream? And I remember standing there thinking, Lord, this is you. I know you're speaking to me, but if I do this, everything's going to change. Lord, I'm good. Jane and I had just bought a house and two new cars. I had got a little bonus and a raise at the place where I worked. And man, I'm like, God, you got the wrong dude. I've never spoken publicly, Lord. Sometimes I might even have a sore throat someday and can't speak good. I can't do this. I threw out a fleece to the Lord. I didn't say anything that night to my wife. I went back the next night to pick her up from that camp. And I threw out a fleece. I said, Lord, if I'm supposed to be a preacher, I need some affirmation, confirmation. And I said, I'm going to mention it to my wife that you spoke to me. I'm just going to say to her, Jane, this is what I ended up doing. I said to her, babe, what if I told you we need to sell our new house and our two new cars? I thought, I'll start with that question because there's no way she'll agree to that. And I had not told her one thing, not one thing. And I said, Jane, I got something I need to run by you. And she said, what is it? I said, what if I told you we're going to probably need to sell our house and cars? She literally said these words. It was almost so shocking, I can't even hardly believe I'm repeating it here. She said to me out loud, if it's because you're supposed to become a pastor, I'm in. And I went, what? Why did you think that? She goes, I don't know. So I took that, wouldn't you take that as affirmation? And I said to her, but baby, life's gonna change. And like, you know, being pastor's hard. Like people are not gonna like us. Like they're gonna get irritated. They're not gonna want me and like me. I like people to like me. I don't wanna do that. Well, did you receive a calling? Yes. sitting in here today, I don't know what your calling will look like. What I do know is it will change your steps from here forth. I know that you won't always walk the same patterns you've always walked. And let me just show to you real quick the three things that I wrote down that keep us from responding to our calling. Number one, here it is. It doesn't fit my plan. I had a plan. I wanted to be really wealthy. Like growing up as a kid, I never had anything, and I got in finance. When I went to college, and Ms. Friedemeyer was my college professor, she said, Dan, what would you like to do in life? I said, I'd like to make a lot of money. She was my advisor. I said, I want to make money. She said, then I'm going to send you into finance. I said, perfect. I had no idea what I was supposed to study. My plan was to get loaded and have a really good life financially. And I knew that day that was done. And some of us don't want to respond to God because it doesn't fit my plan. Now, watch this. Fast forward to 2024. I want to read something to you from Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, this is a chapter about just submitting to the Lord, repenting and fully going on Him. And God says to us in Isaiah 55, and I want to read it to you in verse 8, God's words to us. God says to man, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. I want to pause there 1 second. You've heard it. Some of you written it somewhere. Some of you have quoted it. I've been spending a lot of time, and next week Jeremy will tell you about Moses. He didn't want to change his patterns. I'm comfortable tending these sheep. I've been doing it 40 years. You got the wrong guy, God. And that's what we do. And let me tell you one of the reasons why. Fast forward to me, 2024. I'm in ministry now. And I study in this passage. This has been on my mind for 2 or 3 weeks now. I read this verse. His ways are not my ways. What's that mean? Like, God, I love you like crazy. I know, Dan, but your ways aren't my ways. And I got to thinking about this a lot because I had to do the funeral of a young 16-year-old boy who lost his life just about 3 weeks ago in Highland in a tragic accident. And I'm going to the parents' home to talk with them, and I'm going, God, you got to help me with this because I don't get it. I know, Dan, my ways aren't your ways. And I really began to dive into this. And instead of focusing on so much about what God's ways are, which is what we normally preach about, I started focusing on what are my ways? Like, I'm going to be personal here for a moment. I want to be Moses-like. I'm going to start giving you some statements about me, okay? Here's my ways. If I had to describe for you my perfect day, first of all, I'd have a really strong voice. But if I described my perfect day, I'd wake up 7:30, chill a little bit, have my little time with the Lord, have a listening time, I'd have that. Buddy of mine would call me, hey Dan, you want a pickleball? Yeah, absolutely, where at? We meet, we play for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. That's probably getting around 11 time I finish all that, so I kind of putz over a little bit toward Chick-fil-A and sit down and have my favorite food. Stay there to extra time just to get free drink refill. Now I'd finish that and I'd buzz by the office and everybody there would just be doing awesome. Just loving their job. I walk in, boy, we love working here. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you. I'm describing my perfect day. You have those too. I'd get done with work, you know, a little early, go home. Jane and I'd take a little walk. Hang out a little bit. Eat a little dinner together, something with chicken in it. Maybe a buddy of mine calls me, play a little more pickleball or a game of basketball. I'd love to do that after dinner. Then go home, watch the Dodgers win. Then I lay down, maybe close my day with a Seinfeld. Go to sleep. Perfect day. In fact, if that happened in my life, here's what I'd say to you. Boy, I was so blessed today. And if that happened for a month in a row, let's just say Dan Seaborn had his perfect day for a month in a row. Blessed. What another, another blessed day. If I had a month in a row in that, can I just tell you something about me? I'd get lazy in my faith. I'd be like, yeah, I'm just good. I can go to church. I can walk in and sit down. Man, I had another blessed week. Money's rolling in. I'm just doing good. Kids are good. I need you. Oh, I kind of need you. Every day I think about you. I don't grow deeper in God on what I call blessed days. I don't. It's been my shattered days that actually took me deep with the Lord. And the Lord showed me, yeah, that's because my ways aren't your ways. Anything that loosens your grip on the world, Dan, that's a blessed day. Anything that causes you to go, I ain't got this, is a blessed day, because his ways are not our ways. And God was saying to Moses, I know, Moses, it doesn't fit your plan. Jeremy will explain that next week. But I have a plan for you. I need you to lead my people for the next 40 years into the promised land. And today, some of you walked in here and you have your plan set. It's good. Retirement is ready. Or you're 15 and you just got your thing you want to do in life. Or you're 23 and you just landed the job. Great. Enjoy it. But don't think your ways are always the best ways, because he says they're not. And I have learned this through some crazy hard moments. Every one of the ways I've had to go through that drew me close to the Lord in this sinful earth, the Lord has taught me how to turn to him, even through the crummy stuff. Today, some of you are sitting in a really bad spot with your family, with some situation, and I'm going, you see that as, this is not my plan. And God might be saying your name twice and saying, yeah, I want to redirect you toward me here. I'm not telling you this is easy. Moses tried to bail. Trust me, he didn't think it was easy either. But just because it doesn't fit your plan doesn't mean it's wrong. And secondly, what keeps us from responding? We don't spend time with God. I'm going to challenge you today to take this message, and sometime before next week, Pastor Jeremy will speak. Sometime before he speaks, go sit with the Father and ask him, Lord, are you calling my name twice? Do you want to redirect me in some place in my life? And then obey that. Don't come saying, I need to hear another good message. No, we need to respond in obedience to the one we've heard today. The one you heard last week, did you respond in obedience to it? Did anything in your life slow down so you could focus more on the Lord? That's why we're here. Otherwise, we're just coming in, sitting, checking the box. And I'm asking you to look at your life and say, what can I do to obey to the double name calling? The Bible says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. It's Jesus speaking. You can hear his voice. The problem is, you got any place in your life for him to speak to you? Is there any spot where he can sneak in sideways? You talked about that last week. And then third, and this is probably my favorite of all the excuses, because because it was mine. What keeps us from responding is fear of the unknown. I just don't know. And I wrote this down. Listen to this. What I've got going on in my life, just listen. What I got going on in my life is predictable and it's familiar. It may not be perfect, but I at least know what I'm dealing with. And if I surrender to God, I might lose control. And that was me. I gave all that finance stuff up. I remember telling Jane, I want to be a stock guy. I want to have so much fun in that market. And I remember when I went into ministry, the Lord very clearly laid in my heart, don't play the stock market. And to this day, I never have. And guess what? I'm fine. I'd like to think my life had more of an impact because I was obedient. I'm preaching at Fairhaven today because I said yes to a little moment where God called my name twice. And I liked what I had going on, but looking back, I can see, wow, that was about me. So what now? Like, what now? You've heard it. What you gonna do with it? I want you to sit in a little place of discomfort with it right now. And I want you to have to look at your own heart and soul. But Dan, I'm 80. Moses was 80. But Dan, I'm 33. I just got into my career. Okay. I'm not telling you gotta do anything. I'm asking you, are you saying to the Lord today, here I am? That's it. And all of us have a calling. I honestly think for many of us, it's doing what we're doing right now, just doing it a lot cleaner to honor the Lord and making his name known. Because it's all about Jesus, it's not about us. And Moses' life was redirected, and I'm praying today that in this series on Exodus, your life will be redirected. Otherwise, I'm just telling you, your pastors, I know, I saw the information, they spend a lot of time giving you godly direction. Will you please seek the Lord and let him guide you in the place he is calling you to? So, Father God, I lay this message before you. I lay this group before you. Simple little thoughts today. But wow. If we respond to our name being called, probably some things will move in a different way. And I thank you for your presence here. I love it. I love preaching here. I'm sure people online are focused on you too. Just getting to focus people on the Lord God Almighty and where you've spoken to us today. As we get out of these seats we've been sitting in all service, I pray as we stand, there'd be a commitment in our heart to do something different. Instead of just checking the box. I give this message to you in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.